non-news media behind the scenes, it's not being taught or produced publicly, so you're not going to get this information from the regular news media, but the federal government has passed a law that in 2025, you must have a kill switch in your car that is electronically controlled. That means that if you're speeding and going down the highway, they will know about it and can kill the car if you're driving carefully wherever you're going. Probably means you see that they can also cause an accident, because you ever good thing that can happen from anything that's invented can be used for evil. And the insurance companies are not going to insure cars that don't have a kill switch, so you will have to be, in order, either drive illegally if you drive, and then they're trying to get rid of all gas cars. So this is what they're trying to do, and trying to put you all on a digital economy, so if you are speeding, they can just deduct your fine. No police officer, no contest in courts or anything. It's just going to be automatic. So that's what's going on, and they're trying to do this by sometime in 2025. The Republicans voted for this kill switch. You see, the idea is this way we can stop the car of a drunk. But everybody else too, see. Anyway, that's what's going on. That's just some of the things that we hear from people that are reporting on what's really going on in the Congress. Republicans voted for this. Republican congressmen voted for this kill switch. Total control of you. Well, no, it hadn't even passed into, actually come, it isn't effective until 25.
Yeah.
But,
I want to do the same thing for heaven. Yeah, so I suspect what's going to happen. Any factor?
Oh, they're complicit. The car companies are all complicit with this kill switch, because they can get you all to go to digital, and they can control everybody, everything.
It's a law on all existing vehicles or just new vehicles?
Oh, the insurance companies will not insure a car that doesn't have a kill switch.
Like seatbelts?
Seatbelts, yep. Yes, and ultimately their goal is to not insure gas-powered cars. So that's what's going on behind the scenes. And see, this isn't just this federal government here in the United States. This is being produced by the geniuses that are in the laboratories and in the engineering facilities in countries like Germany and England. Other countries. So it's not just the United States, it's worldwide control. Okay, prayer requests. I thought I might, we just got this letter today from Carolyn Best. I thought I might just share with you what she said, because she's feeling this very sensitive with all the surgeries she's had. But anyway, I have to remind myself that the Christian life is not difficult. It is impossible. The only one who has ever lived the Christian life is Christ himself. Christ lives inside me. He is the resource I need if I will ever be able to change from the negative to the positive. So, since I'm talking about the presence of God tonight, I thought maybe That was appropriate introduction. Last time, when we were here and met together, I talked about the five senses and honed in on the one sense of sight and what you see and how you could improve by paying some sort of attention to it and developing a sense of seeing better by thinking about it and actually working at it a little bit to really perceive what it is you see. So we have that ability with the five senses, with speech, touch, taste, hearing, and sight, to grow and to grow in our ability to use these senses. I hinted last time that I might talk about the sixth sense this time. The dictionary defines sixth sense as a perceptive power independent from the five senses. Might I suggest that if there is a sixth sense, if there is, and I'm not really sure there is, but I'm going to explore that with you tonight, if there is, that God might have had something to do with it. Because he gave all the animals the five senses, so if there is a sixth sense, surely God is involved. Genesis 48:21 says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again to the land of your fathers." Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, God with us. That God brought in Emmanuel. He also created many animals, especially many, many birds that fly free in the atmosphere. Birds that include the hummingbirds, the eagles, the Canada goose that mates for life. If the hunters shoot a male or female goose out of the air when they're hunting, the mate comes down and sits beside it and will die right there with the mate if it's given left alone. Then there are the pelicans and the puffins and, oh my, the woodpeckers and many, many more. How people can look at a killdeer or a snow goose and not believe in God boggles my mind. Because if you see the way the hummingbirds put together and how in the world something less than an ounce can do what it does, it's just almost impossible to even imagine that you could make something like that, that even God could make something like that. But I want to share with you a story about a bird, the Eurasian sparrow. 5 inches long, weighs less than an ounce, and with a very cheerful chirp. In 1950, the Chinese Communist Party decided that those Eurasian sparrows were eating all the rice crop, and so they entered an order into their governmental system demanding that the people kill all the Eurasian sparrows. Claimed these birds were eating all the rice and therefore starving the public. If they did not kill the birds, then they would starve. The people would starve if they did not eradicate all the birds. Well, the story, and I'm going to share with you, I'm going to read some of this because it's just as easy for me. People became living scarecrows, swatting at the birds with long sticks and branches. One by one, they all dropped dead, and this happened again and again and again across the nation. At the time, people had been brainwashed by the CCP, that's the Chinese Communist Party, to just right degree that they believed everything the Communist Party said. And I found no shortage of primary evidence in going back and investigating. I looked at full-color posters declaring death to those nasty, pestilent, evil sparrows. I watched black and white, yet clear as day footage of public parades, complete with signboards and model animals on the post calling for the death to the little birds. I saw the glorious, heartwarming activity of people of all ages working together to bring death to the birds. In the excitement of their success and in the struggle against nature, masses of people gathered sparrow upon sparrow and tied their little bodies together, forming a long, brown, feathery braids. In single file, the braids were presented to the seated communist officials who recorded the official count of the dead to report higher authorities. The larger number of dead birds, the greater the praise from the Communist Party. It is likely that those areas that didn't present enough dead little birds were somehow punished and penalized, but I didn't search hard enough to try to find that in the records. There was no exact number of how many sparrows were originally living in China in that year of 1958, but it is estimated hundreds of thousands were killed. Had there been a sparrow for each person in the nation, that would have been more than 600 million. But by the end of the year, very few sparrows remained. Then what happened? I asked the professor. The next year, the crops were destroyed by the insects. All the crops in all places without sparrows had barely a single grain of food to harvest. Insect-borne disease became severe, and people had to starve again. Up to 45 million men, women, and children died of the mass starvation, devastating famine that followed the sparrowside. It was far worse than an environmental disaster. It is the worst recorded mass starvation in history. Yet China is not taught about it. It is not even spoken about, and if they talk about it at all, they call it a natural emergency. Natural emergency. Well, you see, the whole idea is control. The whole idea is control, control, control. And we're having that in this country. Had it with COVID. In this country, and we're coming into it with the car and the automobile and that whole thing. And it's got to be devastating to our minds and our thoughts, and it's got to be mind-boggling that we need to even face any of this. Why in the world do we need to go through all of this? And you see, what it is that the leaders of the Communist Party were scared. They're scared of the people in their government that they have put in place because they know how they got in power, and they're scared of the general public because they're concerned the general public will rise up and take their power away. So the evil people that are in power in so many places are frightened of everybody, scared of everybody, and so the whole effort is to try to control, control, control. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to, in my practice, to have a client that came from to me a woman who had been in the Clinton governorship in Arkansas. And her comment was to me, this didn't have anything to do with her case, but I asked her, well, what, you know, because she had worked in his office, I asked her, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think about what was going on there? What do you think? So she told me. And I was shocked. She said, well, she said, I really wasn't a big wheel in the whole operation, but I was a secretary. And she said, after so many people and the staff at his office and the policemen that protected him all just were there one day, and then they disappeared. They just disappeared. No word of them. Nobody ever told me anything about them. Police officers that were protecting the governor himself. And I said, oh my. I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I really wasn't a big cog in the wheel, and I couldn't figure out how those people were missing, but I got to thinking about it. You know, I worked there, and if these people were missing, and the rumors that I heard about what were happening to them really were true, that maybe, so I resigned. I left the state. I moved to as far away as I could get and still be in the United States. I got a job there as a secretary, just a clunky secretary, just typing with no really power or authority at all. And I went to the county and I got the county to change my name. And she says, I've got a whole entirely different name than I had before because I just feel like one wrong turn, just scared. And she never criticized anybody. She just said, just bothered her. You see, those people that get power are scared of everyone. Everybody is a potential problem to them. And so here we are trying to control it, trying to cool them. People who fear the power, the loss of their power, do what China does. And fear good people because they might find out that you're doing something wrong. Our country is, as you are well aware, is probably due a discipline from God. But let me suggest that everyone that's born in this country and everyone that's born in this world, I believe, has an innate understanding from the get-go of right and wrong. I think everybody's got that. I think you understand that right from the start. Because, you see, even if God isn't involved, and I think he is involved, but even if he's not involved, when you and I think about it, if we go out in the world and we know this person is a good guy, we don't fear him. The only ones we fear are those people that would cause us harm. So if we don't want to be harmed, then we should not harm. It's just automatic, and that's kind of innate, I think. Morality in the dictionary is defined as in accord with a standard or a standard of good conduct. That's the first definition. Right. Second definition is right conduct system. And the third is a virtuous conduct. But is it a sixth sense? Is it a sixth sense, like touch and taste? I don't think so. Sense. What does sense mean? Latin means the facility. The Latin interpretation of sense is a facility of perceiving or feel. And then the definition dictionary, any of the animal functions, hear, see, smell, touch, or taste. Second definition is facilities of sensation, gratification, pleasurable. Third definition is intuitive or acquired ability to estimate or judge, understand a vague feeling or impression. And fourth is the ability to think and reason. Morals. What is morals? The definition is conduct. The conduct. If the dictionary definition is correct, it emphasizes especially sexual. What about the sixth sense? Perceptive power independent of the five senses. The perceptive power. Perceive. What does perceive mean then? Become aware of it through the five senses. That's the first definition of perceive. To observe or take notice. So what does God say? What does God say about the sixth sense? Well, not doesn't say anything about the sixth sense. But what does God say? In John 4:21, says God is a spirit. I'm not sure that I have a good perception of what all a spirit can do. I think it's got a lot more power than we the people have. And I think it's got a higher power than I've got. But John 4 says, God is a spirit. Amen. First Chronicles 22:18. Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? Chronicles then. Well, before I go there, let me go back because I skipped one that I really want to mention. Luke 12:6-7. Are not the sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. 2 Chronicles 15:2. And he went out, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be fond of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Zechariah 8:23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, and even should take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will all go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. I've got one that I've, here we are. John 4, 1 John 4, 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Acts 19, 5 and 6. Acts 19, 5 and 6. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So what do we have? God is with you. God is Spirit. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Do you sense a sixth sense of the Holy Spirit with you? Do you sense that? Is the Holy Spirit there? Talk to Beverly. She'll tell you. Talk to Beverly. She'll tell you she senses that that Holy Spirit is there around her all the time because she's always praying. God, is God the sixth sense? Did you know? I don't know. I don't know whether it's really a sixth sense or whether I'm playing on the terminology a little bit, but I can tell you that in my own life, there's a sense that when I undertake to do these lessons sometimes, that sometimes I'm kind of doing them, and sometimes the words aren't mine. There's somebody else's, and they're doing a much better job than I was thinking about doing. Sometimes, when I'm thinking late at night, what do I do, what do I do? I'm thinking, God's telling me, he doesn't talk to me, but God's telling me to do something. God's telling me thinking to do something. I don't know always how this works. I don't understand a spirit and what all he can do. I know he's got more power than I do, but God is a spirit and he's there and all, and he's involved in all of this stuff. And then when I go to church, sometimes he's really pushing me to say something or to think something that he wants me to know and share. Do you know? Is God the sixth sense? Well, I don't have to make that. God is there with you. I don't have to make him the sixth sense, but it just perhaps that's what they're really talking about when they say something that you can appreciate, something that you can perceive. But whoever and whatever this is, this feeling that you have with Christ, with the Lord, with God, presence there, whatever that is, you see, we talked last time about sight. And I tried to give you a picture and encourage you to examine the picture and see if you could see more and more in the picture. It was dark and cloudy, and some of it was not very visible, and it's all intentionally to make person apply their sight maybe a little more strongly than they ordinarily do. So you can, by working at it, improve your sight. And if you're a singer and you are talking about singing a song in church, by training you can improve. Well, I'm not sure I can, but you can improve your voice and sing a song. Taste, I don't know, maybe if you get a cook like Ruth in my house that cooks that perfect breakfast every morning, maybe you can improve that perfect breakfast, but I think probably you could adjust the taste a little bit. It's hard to beat that breakfast. But you see, if this thing, if this person, if this God is there and present, is the sixth sense, or if he's not, you can improve the relationship. And how do you do this? Well, oh yeah, see, it's praying. Praying and praying, which is what we come here to do, you improve that sense of God's presence. By reading and studying the Bible, you improve God's presence in your life. By fellowship in the church activities with fellow Christians, you improve that relationship with God. Who says he's there? He says he's there. He tells you he's there. The Holy Spirit's there. God's there. Christ's in you. All of that he says. By sharing the grace message, you can also improve your relationship. By sharing goodwill, compassion for the fellow man. And I was reading one of the books that I think I checked out from the church library about 14 years ago, and I returned it tonight, but I was looking at it, and it suggested that, you know, most people want to be normal. Coach, when he had the problems with his back, wants to be normal. But when you really examine it, 50% of the people in the world are disabled, sick, and elderly. 50%. So what is normal? You see, God knows that we're suffering. God is there for us, and he knows that we're hearing all this baloney from the government and from the people behind the scenes, and what he really wants us to do is to grow the relationship with that God that we sense is there, with the man that's there. The good news is, you see, there's no problem with us doing it. It's just the problem of us going ahead and doing it. Of doing it and doing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for teaching us. And I pray, Father, that I do not exaggerate or undue justice to you. I just pray that you be blessed. And by our efforts to try to understand and discuss your relationship with your people, you tell us, and we sometimes don't really want to believe it. You tell us you're there. We don't want to believe it. Sometimes forget you're there. Sometimes act without you being involved and make mistakes and just and discharge things that we should have taken care of in ways that we shouldn't have gone. So we pray, Father, that we turn to you, that we seek your will in all of the circumstances, and we understand that we do not have to listen and be fearful of anything that's being said or done in our world. We need to turn to you and seek you in everything that we do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.